An Evening with the Sladdons, 1916. Part 3.
Your dear mother died Sunday. Funeral Thursday afternoon. Sladden.
Eugenie Narcisse Sladden died peacefully, aged 61. Telegrams were sent promptly to many people, including Arthur and George in France, in the slender hope that they might get leave for the funeral. The next morning, it fell to Kathleen, who had been present at the time of death, to write to Jack with news in more detail.
My dear old boy, before you get this letter, you will have received our sad news by telegram. Dear little mother grew rapidly worse throughout yesterday. Her weak heart could not stand the strain of the bronchitis, and she died very peacefully at 20 minutes past nine. We sent wires to May and Mila to come after the doctor's morning visit, but of course they cannot arrive until today. We hoped they would be able to come and help nurse her. She spent a very quiet, peaceful day, very weak, but able to take the nourishment we gave her at short intervals. Once she said to me, "Last Sunday I had that nice ride in the bath chair." About nine, the nurse said she would like Dr. Leslie to be asked to come out again, and Ethel and Betty went to the vicarage to ask Mr. Alsebrook to go for him. They had just started when I went up again and saw she was dying. She was not conscious then. I brought poor father up. She died just as father and I were up there again. Poor father is simply heartbroken. Dear old boy, you will grieve perhaps that you were not here, but it was better that you were able to come last week. She did enjoy having you so much and spoke of it several times in the week. The funeral is to be on Thursday. Goodbye, dear boy. Much love to you from us all. Kathleen.
Letters were received from Jack, Arthur and George.
My dearest father, I've written to Kathleen and hope to be with you tomorrow or Wednesday at the latest. In the meantime, just a line to send my deepest sympathy, for while her children will miss her very much, mother's loss must be even more of a blow to you. I hope you will not grieve too much, for she seems to have passed away very peacefully and painlessly, and we may look forward with confidence to a joyful meeting at the last great day. I was so thankful that I was able to be with her so recently. It will also always be a joy to me to remember we spent her last Easter on earth together. Do hope Arthur and George may be able to get leave to attend the funeral. Mila will have to represent Cyril. Very much love, your affectionate son, John D. Sladden.
My dear bereaved father, your sad news reached me this evening late, and while realizing dear mother's serious illness, I was not expecting so sudden an end. I'm very sorry to say I am unable to get leave. The authorities are unable to allow the death of a relative as a reason for special leave, and in any case, the necessary sanctions would not get through in time. I'm sure the war and the strain involved has reacted badly on Mother's health, and I fear it will prevent three out of her four sons from showing the love and honour that they all bore to her by presence at her burial. It is dreadful to be so near and yet unable to come over. Dear Father, I wish I could be with you and the dear girls to see Mother's face once more before she is buried and to mourn with you all the great loss we are suffering. I think it will be some comfort to you to know without any doubts that all your eight children know full well how blessed you were in your wife and we in our mother. With very much love from your son, Arthur.
My dear father, you need no telling how great my sorrow is, and I, like all your children, should like to lighten the blow that has fallen on you even more heavily than on us. It is hard to be away from home now, Our place is to be with you on Thursday, and yet we are held away. Be very sure that if thought can overcome space, I shall be very, very near when she is laid to rest. I shall never cease to be thankful that I not only loved my dear mother as she loved me, but that also, ever since I have been old enough to fully understand, I realized what she had done for me and for all of us. There was none like her for goodness and gentleness and understanding. Although she is gone from us, we have not lost her. The spirit of her life remains with us. I am, my dear father, your very loving son, George.
Juliet was overwhelmed by letters of condolences from her school friends. She read one from her friend Joyce.
My dearest Juliet, I was so very sorry to hear about your mother, you poor child. I am very glad you wrote and told me, though. I'm afraid you won't be back at school for a little now. Do come back as soon as you can, because I'm sure it will be better for you to get into some sort of routine as you do at school. From your loving Joyce.
The funeral took place on the Thursday, the 4th of May, here at Badsey Church. Both Julius and Kathleen wrote shortly afterwards to tell George about the funeral.
My dear George, I feel I should like to tell you something of the happenings of this sad week. I know, dear boy, how much you will feel being unable to follow your dear mother to her resting place. But it was a great happiness for her to have seen you this year, and that you should have been able to bring Rosie down here. Everybody has been most kind from the vicar downwards. We got him to come in shortly after her death and say a few suitable prayers. Every subsequent evening, and on Thursday morning, we repaired to her room for prayers, reading a few suitable psalms and collects. Photographs of you three boys were placed on the little table by her side so that you too should be present in a way. The morning of the funeral opened very wet, but it cleared after midday, and although dull, remained fine overhead. We hope soon to send you a photograph of the grave, covered with the numerous and lovely wreaths. She lies near Mrs. Savory's grave, a trifle near the tower and a little near the path. I think it is a spot she would have liked. With very much love, my dear George, I remain your affectionate father, Julius Sladden.
My dear George, here are a few personal memories of the funeral and the subsequent time. The chief, I think, is of Father, so gentle and loving to us all. The village people were all so full of genuine grief. Maud Harrison, formerly Cole, told Ethel next day how on that Sunday night she dreamt of Mother and saw her in a dream, with her face and hair all white and her back quite straight and upright. She had not heard then that she was dead. The day of the funeral, such lovely flowers kept coming. I cannot understand how people can say no flowers, for they are a help and comfort. Only one wanted so dreadfully to show them all to her. The funeral service was very beautiful. One thing which happened at this time would have pleased Mother very much. There had been for some time friction between the vicar and the ringers, and the bells had not rung for a long time. But William Keane went round and got together somehow a band of ringers before the funeral and got Reverend Horsebrook's most willing leave to ring a muffled peal. The breach was quite healed up. Coming back to work next day was rather a wrench. Betty and I came up together. We both found it very hard to begin, I think. Personally, I found the first week dreadful. It was so difficult to feel any interest in things. Much love from your affectionate sister, Kathleen.
It was some time before Cyril was able to receive full details of his mother's death. As May Sladden, the eldest daughter, explained in a letter to Juliet.
My dear Betty, you will like to hear that we had letters from Boo yesterday afternoon, one for Father and one for Mila. He got the news on May the 24th. Mother's last letter to him reached him that day, with Father's and Mila's telling of her death. He opened Mother's first and was disturbed at the shakiness of the writing, and of course she told him she was ill again. Then he opened Father's, which told him. He describes Father's as a beautiful account which gave him much comfort after he'd had time to recover from the first shock. I must go now and get on with the daily round. Very much love from May.
Cyril was now at a hospital in Pune, India, and wrote from there in June.
My dear Father, from your letter and those I had from Mila and May, I was able to gather a very complete idea of Mother's funeral. I am glad to feel that as I could not be there, Mila was there to represent me. It was a pity neither Arthur nor George could get across. However, they had the satisfaction of having been home for a visit quite recently. I have been really exceptionally unlucky in respect of getting leave. I am going before my board tomorrow morning, and I believe the doctor has put me down as recommended for 2 months' leave. Provided I can get all arrangements made, I shall leave here the next day for Simla. My name has been sent up to secure a place in the bungalow, which is being opened from today to accommodate 9 officers on sick leave. A committee of ladies in Simla have arranged it. The financing is being done by the War Fund, which has a standing arrangement with a large number of clubs and hotels all over India, whereby the officers pay 2 rupees a day and the fund makes up the remainder. I think Simla ought to be most enjoyable as regards climate and scenery. My arm is getting gradually more normal, and I can now straighten the elbow practically completely. Best love to the girls and yourself from your affectionate son, Cyril E. Sladden.
Life had to start getting back to some semblance of normality. George wrote to his father from France on the 21st of June.
My dear father, I won't miss the opportunity that a slack half hour gives me of writing to you for your birthday and wishing you many happy returns of it. No vain wish, though happiness in the future cannot be same as that in the past. Affairs on the Western Front loom large in our eyes. References open and veiled to expect defensiveness are growing pretty common in the newspapers now. I expect we shall soon see anyhow. Not much doing that I can talk about. Weather is excellent again, and we are now in a delightful village. Drat the censor. One of the evil effects of the war will be to increase the already excessive taciturnity of the Briton. Love to all, from George.
Arthur also wrote with birthday wishes for his father.
My dear father, I'm writing tonight to send my good wishes for your birthday. This afternoon I watched our hospital team beating number 9 general at cricket. They play on matting, or rather rough pitches, but put up some very fair cricket. Regular competitions are held between hospitals and base depots, etc. in Rouen. We have a German prisoner convalescent from typhoid. I noticed him sitting, looking, rather amazed at the game. With the return here of some of the Gallipoli and Egypt forces, we're getting a few cases of semi-tropical diseases about. Interesting to me, as of course I've seen very little of that kind of thing. This war is leading to many discoveries in the medical world, and I think it shows great possibilities in coordinated research. Perhaps the method may be extended and perpetuated after the war. With love to all at home, your affectionate son, Arthur F. Sladden.
On the 1st of July 1916, one of the bloodiest battles in human history began. For 141 days, the Battle of the Somme was fought across the flat farmland of northern France, claiming over 1 million dead and injured. On the first day alone, the British suffered more than 57,000 casualties.
Mila, who was still at Seaward House, wrote in early July to Cyril about sad news he had just received concerning her brother, Cecil Brown Constable.
My own dear sweetheart, yesterday morning's post brought me the saddest news, that Cecil is reported wounded and missing since July 1st. It gave me an awful shock, for as Cecil has been out so long and unharmed, it had seemed as though he bore a charmed life. Missing is awful news, the most unsatisfactory. And you can imagine how worried I've been feeling, wondering where he is and if he's a prisoner. We're trying to trace Cecil in all kinds of ways. Mr. Amos has been wounded. Mrs. Amos went to see him and found him more badly wounded than she expected. It's probably that he'll lose the sight of his right eye. His neck and right shoulder have wounds, and his right arm is simply peppered all over. Another Badsey man, Albert Perkins, is also reported wounded. The casualty lists are enormous. 430 officers today, but the majority of them are wounded. I think 50 were killed. There's a memorial service tonight for Walter Crane, who was badly wounded and died on the stretcher as he was being carried to the dressing station. His poor old mother fainted right away when she got the news. With all my love, dear sweetheart, it'll not be long now until the war is over. Ever your devoted Mila.
The enormity of the carnage at the Somme was beginning to be recognised on the home front. Mr. Amos was the headmaster of Badsey Council School. He'd enlisted in Kitchener's army and had left the school in the charge of his sister-in-law, Miss Margaret MacDonald. Walter Crane, who grew up at Silk Mill Cottages, died on the second day of the battle. With a large number of casualties from the Somme, all hospitals in northern France were busy, as Arthur wrote to his father.
My dear father, we have been extremely busy of late, though in this particular unit it has been ordinary work so far. The general impression of the course of events is quite favourable out here, and the situation all round looks full of promise, though I don't think we should expect such a degree of success as will bring the Huns to their knees this year. I have not had a great deal of personal contact yet with our wounded, but they seem full of hope and give a sense of feeling that our plans are going well. I think a great many of the wounded have been transferred to England, and doubtless the hospitals there must be very busy. I cannot gather yet if George's division has been in action or in reserve. But anyway, I believe they are getting pretty close to the scene of action. We still hear the guns, though not quite so persistently. I suppose this is undoubtedly the biggest battle the British Army has ever been in, and I dare say it'll be the longest. We have become students of the map again lately, and have a very good one here at present of the battlefield. I hope you're enjoying your roses. They should be good now. With much love, from your affectionate son, Arthur.
George had not been in the Somme region, so took no part in that particular action. But later in July, it became clear that George would be moving on to the centre of the action.
My dear father, I intended to begin this letter 2 days ago, but something intervened. I forget what. Oh yes, it was a sick horse. And yesterday we were busy preparing for an inspection which took place this morning. For the third time in succession, we've been pronounced the best transport in the brigade, so we are all pleased with ourselves. I must try and get my correspondence well up to date tomorrow, for we are on the move the next day. I think there is little doubt we are bound for the main theatre of operations. Naturally, nobody is exactly overcome with joy at the prospect of getting into such a hot shop, though there is a sort of feeling that it was due to the prestige of the division to send it there. I'm very sorry about Cecil Brown Constable. Wounded and missing is a beastly report. I hope something definite will be heard soon. Mila has had to bear a great deal of anxiety up till now, and this is worse than all. Love to all, from George.
In Simla, Cyril was enjoying a well-earned convalescence.
My dear father, I am very glad I came here. It is a great relief to get back to a decent sort of temperature where one can go out at any time of day quite comfortably. One gets hot walking because it is impossible to go very far without doing a certain amount of hill climbing. No carriages or motors are allowed, however, only three persons being allowed to drive, namely the Viceroy, the Commander-in-Chief, and the Lieutenant Governor of the Punjab. Everybody uses rickshaws. Now that the monsoon season has set in, there is heavy rain almost every day. It does not, as a rule, last many hours, and as the water runs off, as off a duck's back, it is very nice to go out as soon as ever it stops. The steady success of our offensive in France up to date has been most satisfactory. I shall be very glad when the English papers give an account of it begin to arrive. The telegraphic news published out here is subject to a censorship, which prevents one putting complete reliance on it presenting the whole truth. We get an undue proportion of good news and very little that is bad. July 21st. I saw yesterday that Cecil is reported wounded and missing. I am afraid poor Mila will be terribly upset and worried about it. She is having a bad time of it and feels things so much more than she shows. She has missed Mother very much indeed. I am glad Mila is in your charge, as I know you will look after her as well as possible. Your affectionate son, Cyril E. Sladen.
In early August, Mila wrote to Cyril.
My own dear Cyril, I've been called up for military nursing service again and to go to Birmingham on Tuesday to be medically examined and see if after 6 months' rest the doctors will think I'm fit enough to take up work again. They're frightfully busy at Bournebrook. Besides, every corner of the hospital being full, they have several large tents in the grounds full of wounded. I rather hope I shall be passed, as I quite like the idea of going back. I was getting quite restless because the papers are full of appeals for nurses. Last week, I was gooseberry picking, and today I've been pea picking and bower tying. We were working against time to catch a train for Manchester, so had quite an exciting time trying to get finished. Working in the open air suits me, and I already look a better colour. Life up at the ground is monotonous and mechanical, but has its interesting side. One sees the envious outlook of life that the villagers have, and their views on many subjects. One hears a tremendous amount of village gossip. Some of the tales make my hair stand on end in surprise. We have no further news of Cecil. With all my fondest love and a big kiss from your ever devoted Mila.
An Evening with the Sladdens, 1916. The cast was Julius, Anthony Miller, Eugenie, Patsy Miller, Jack, Tony Spinks, May, Ross Davis, Kathleen and Ethel, Sandra Sparrow, Arthur, Chris Smith, George, Robin Neal, Cyril, Terry Sparrow, Juliet, Martha Murray, Mila, Jane Neal. The narrator was Will Dallimore, and the official voice, Malango Rose Stevens. The director was Maureen Spinks. An Evening with the Sladdens was a Badsey Society production.